So I wanted to start with asking you if your family's okay.
Yeah, they're, well, I mean, they're, you mean like my mom and my dad out here thinking of, no, well, the truth is no. My mom and both my dad have had some, you know, medical issues, things that they've never suffered from in the past, from everything that's been going on. They haven't been able to really see their son for almost, in September, a year.
And Daisy, you contacted us here at KFI. Why?
Out of... I can't even talk.
It's okay. And it's okay to cry. Because it's honest.
Fear.
What are you worried about?
That I'll never see my brother again. That you're trying to keep him in jail for a very long time. And I started reaching out to people to get the word out and just to see how I can get my brother home.
Do you have faith in the system?
At this point, I thought I did. I come from, you know, I've been married to a law enforcement officer for over 11 years, and I thought I did. And then this happened to my brother. And the way everything has been happening and everything that's been going on, something just isn't right. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't fall into place to what our justice system should be. And I've seen it. I've lived in, you know, this country. I'm from here, and I've seen, born here. I'm born here, yes. I'm born in Northridge, California. And when this hit our family and the nightmare hit our family, it just opened up something that I've never seen before.
And you're talking about a number of things. You feel racism in all of this legal proceeding. You feel an abuse of power, yes. Abuse of authority.
Yes.
And yet you live and have combined your life with someone who enforces the law in your house, your husband.
Correct.
Who's a police officer here in town.
Correct.
That's got to be so hard for you.
Very difficult. Very, very difficult because you've seen what they do and you believe in them. I've seen it with my own eyes. I haven't been out there like them, but I've been a part of it because I've been the support that my husband has needed. And then when I see what happened to my brother, how his rights were violated. He was the way he was treated. Till this day, I'm sitting here in this studio with my sister and my brother's not home.
Susie, how do you feel?
I'm lost for words. We're a very tight family. My sister, my brother, and I were very close. And it's like at times it just hits you out of nowhere that he's just not home. And you just can't call him or text him, tell him something funny, because he's nowhere to be found. You feel like you can't breathe. You feel like you're suffocating because he's not here.
And some people might say, well, your brother was charged with serious criminal charges, and maybe your brother did something wrong, and so he needs to be behind bars. Well, how do you respond to that?
Well, from the outside, it looks like that. It looks terrible. It looks like he's a terrible person. And what people don't know is the reality is there's a lot of corruption going on in the situation. It was a family partner dispute. And since...
A family partner, you mean like a domestic domestic abuse, basically.
Domestic
incident.
Between two people. It wasn't just him. It was her as well. They both assaulted each other. And there's a lot of conflict of interest in this case that they just, to me, looking from the outside, it just looks like there's a lot of hate going on in this case. There's a lot of, obviously, a lot of lies. you know, and we just want him to be pretty much, we're not okay with what happened between him and his girlfriend. We're not okay with that. Absolutely not. As a family, we think that is wrong. But with that being said, the other charges that follow do not apply to what actually happened that night. And they're making it bigger than what it really was.
And you believe it's because of her ties to law enforcement?
I am 100% that it is because of that.
Daisy?
I agree.
How do you know this?
We have come to the conclusion, based on proof that we have found, that they are friends. They are friends from years with the lead detective on the case. There is a friendship. There is a conflict of interest. And yet she is still on the case, and she has been the lead in the case from the beginning.
And charges just keep multiplying and piling up.
Correct.
So he goes from a domestic violence charge to, what is it now? Rape? What else?
Aggravated kidnapping.
That's
aggravated
big, yeah.
Assault. Sexual intercourse without consent, to which, and per documents, and I've seen the court documents where she did admit to consensual sex from the beginning. So everything was consensual. They even went to a sex shop together. There is surveillance of them both going. And then they went back to their hotel room where the incident happened between both of them. And now, just almost 10 months later, he's now been charged with sexual intercourse without consent. So that just blew us away, because we just don't understand how that happened.
You're saying, how do you prove that, number one, especially if you have video of them going together into a sex shop? That doesn't even make sense to me from here, from this vantage point. So your brother now is looking at a possible of like the lightest, or what's the latest plea bargain now? Like 50 million years or something stupid?
50 years in jail.
50 years in jail. And how, he's 28?
28.
Okay, so that's his life.
Basically, it is.
Are you a religious family?
Very much.
Yes.
What was that, Susie?
I said very much. We live off of our faith.
It's all that keeps us going.
It's helping.
It's helping so much. He used to go to church with us.
She used to eat dinner with us almost every night. She used to sit at our table. She was part of our family. We took her in when her own family didn't want anything to do with her. She's always been the black sheep of her family. We showed her the kind of love that her family wasn't able to give her.
And those were her words, the black sheep. Her words. She said that to us, and we cared for her and took her in. We used to take her to church with my brother, thinking, you know, it's any faith, whatever faith, anything positive is always good for anybody. And we chose our faith, our Christian faith, you know?
Right.
And that's all that keeps us going, gives us the strength. But our family is broken. We have to function every day. We have kids, you know?
It's overwhelming.
Very.
So, you know, can you share how was Michael before all of this? You're smiling, Daisy. Susie, as well, both of you.
Well, he was something. He's always been really sweet. I mean, very protective of us. Mm-hmm. Very protective of us. Always had a good character. He's very likable. Very lovable.
Did he get himself in trouble, though? I mean, did he have a criminal past?
Yeah, he did. But nothing with domestic violence or anything like that.
You think that's
hurting
him?
I mean, he wasn't perfect.
Okay, but you think that's part of why they keep trying to throw a couple more things on him?
I really don't know why. I just think that they just don't want to let him go because the lead detective is on the case and, you know, they're friends. That's what I think.
Producer Brent talked about pillows in the freezer.
When he was young, he would, he's always been a silly guy. If you were to talk to my brother.
Oh, pillows.
Yeah.
Pillows, yes. Yeah.
He's a funny guy. He's a dork, I would call him, because, you know, we're sisters. Away, hey, you dork, you know.
He's a little brother, right?
Yeah. When he was young, you know, it used to be get hot. And we grew up with maybe not having air conditioning, you know, back then. So he would grab his pillows and put them in the freezer, let them stay there for a bit, take them out, and then he would, like, use them to cool himself off.
That is a brilliant idea. I'm not even kidding. I'm going to steal that. That is a good idea.
So that is something that we've, you know, he's always been that way. He's a funny, outgoing guy. His smile says it all.
And again, how old is your brother, Michael?
28.
And the girlfriend, Brianna?
She's 21.
Mm. Was this his first real relationship?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Or if you know, was this her first serious relationship?
No.
It's my understanding that I don't even know what she considered a relationship because, you know, I don't know if her family knew that she was dating my brother.
They didn't know.
And that was an issue with them, too, because she knew she couldn't bring him around.
Why not?
Because of his race. He's Hispanic. So her family didn't approve.
And they are Caucasian?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And they didn't approve, so they kind of, and they met here, or is it in Montana?
They met here in California.
Yeah. You spent a lot of time with the two, right? So can you tell us more about what that was like living with them?
Me.
Susie.
That's fine. We would do family stuff, family dinners, you know, that kind of stuff. We would hang out, play board games, watch TV together.
Does she work?
Yes. She worked at the mall as a barista.
Okay. And your brother?
He had his own business.
Oh.
And he also worked with my dad.
Oh, I see. Because your dad has a business too, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're both moms and pretty much off the market, being veterans of the dating scene. I'm curious, how did you see their relationship?
They were happy. I would see them happy. I would see my brother try to just hand everything to her. Like, do you want this, babe? Do you want that? He treated her well. The one thing that she wouldn't get at home. It's like he would give her all his attention to make her happy. And I'm sure they had arguments like any other couple. You know, you didn't show up on time or, you know, whatever the situation might have been. But overall, it was an up and down, typical relationship. You know, I'm married and I still have my typical up and down days. You know, that's what I would see with both of them. But when we were all together and go out to eat for birthdays, go out to dinner, go to church, you know, I'd go over my mom's house because he used to live there. Everything seemed nice with her. She would give us gifts for Christmas. We would exchange gifts. It was just.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
They broke up, right, after 4 years?
You know, I believe she lied to him and told him that she was still in California when really she was in Great Falls, Montana.
And then she
wanted him to go out there.
I see.
The relationship was up and down. She told her family the relationship was over, but per text messages and evidence that we found, she was still in full-blown communication with him. And they were loving it, and they were telling each other they loved each other. I can't wait to see you. And that's when she persuaded him to go out to Great Falls, Montana.
The way her character is that she just did a little, because I kind of knew her a little bit. I kind of was more of a, on a personal level with her. And the way she was, I always noticed that she kind of always lied about little things. So towards the end of their relationship, I didn't know if they were together or not. I did know that she was in Montana. And about three different times, my brother actually would go to the airport to pick her up with roses. And for some reason, he would always come back and I would hear him crying. I didn't want to ask him or anything, but it turns out that she would say she arrived and she was never here.
Sounds like a volatile relationship in a weird way, right? I mean, she wasn't very honest. Your brother is, you're all trying to figure it out. So, well, let me just say this. They broke up. How did he take it? Was that part of it? Because, of course, I think they must assume that your brother just wouldn't let her go, and maybe that was part of the fight. I don't know.
I think he was fine.
Do you know why they broke up?
Her lies.
After the breakup, did they keep in touch? Yes. Sounds like they did, right?
They did.
Very intimate.
The latest court documents said that Brianna sent texts and videos to Michael after they broke up, right? So we're...
Yes.
We're going to do a quick parental disclaimer here. Do you know what they were about? And if you can go into the detail. And again, clear the room if you have little ones here.
Yes. She sent him a video about a week or a couple days before he went out there of herself masturbating. Graphic pictures of her private parts to my brother and telling him, I can't wait to see you again. I can't wait for us to be together. I want you to cuddle me. It's a lot of things that was not an attitude of a woman that was broken up with somebody that
wanted to move on.
Correct. And that she was so traumatized and she just didn't want to have anything to do with. It was the complete opposite.
Gosh, this is so much for you guys. This is so hard for you.
And
this is like a full-time job.
Yeah.
It's just so confusing. A couple weeks before, he just didn't want to be with her anymore. He was like, I'm okay, I'm gonna be fine, you know. And then this happens. How did you end up going over there? I thought you had moved on.
Well, she did send him a video of herself,
and that's what my dad said.
He private was parts like, and stuff. Men are
if,
different.
If a woman do that, if a woman does that, what man's gonna say no?
He was on a plane the next day, probably saying, "Hey, I'm over here."
He was,
and he went. And he even texted her and said, you're going to do something to me. I just came across that. You're going to do something to me.
She said, what?
Like he had a feeling. He texted her. I have the text messages where he said, are you going to do something to me? Mm. And she said, no, stop. I'm not going to do anything to you. Mm. And it's as if something was telling him, but he still decided to go because he's a man and he got these, you know, pictures, text messages of her. And I'm guessing it in the bottom of his heart, he loved her. You know, he must have.
But he also had a gut feeling about something was not going to go well for
him.
And
it didn't go well.
When did you get the call or you found out about Michael's arrest?
September 7th, the next day.
Okay. After that, you had to start finding a lawyer quickly. I mean, detectives, what was that process like? And how does a mom even start her own legal war room? Both of you, because you're both moms.
Phone calls as it is. Somebody called us to tell us that my brother was probably in trouble. I started calling all the different detention centers out in Montana. And then my father said, you know, I got a call from this weird number and we called it, and that's how we were able to find him. But it was difficult because they didn't really want to give us a lot of information on him. I don't know why. But
did you get him a private lawyer immediately or did he have a public defender?
He had a public defender at first. And then my dad randomly on Yelp or something found a private attorney, which we knew nothing about.
Out of
Montana, Great Falls, Montana.
Oh, boy. And was that a good start or no? What do you think, Susie?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
He, in my opinion, he didn't really represent my brother like he should have.
And do you know what that means? Because here's what I would say to you. Part of the problem is that we get into these situations where we know nothing about that. It's kind of like all of a sudden you have to become a heart surgeon and you're not in medicine. Right? But you have to ask the right questions. How do you ask the right questions when you've never been in that situation before? Yeah. So there's a huge learning curve in a very short amount of time. So in the beginning, what kind of things did you have to learn in your case, right, about our legal system?
Well, one of the things we needed to know was what kind of reputation the attorney had. And we went into it blinded. We didn't know. We just knew we needed an attorney, and we just got the first guy that popped up. And we just took it from there.
And was it expensive?
It was.
Oh, yeah. He asked for the money up front, and my dad paid him $10,000.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. $10,000 cash.
Correct.
And by the way, have you two ever been arrested, ladies?
No.
Have you ever been a gang?
No.
Never. Oh, my gosh. No, my dad would kill us. My dad was a very strict man.
Mm-hmm.
Very traditional man. Right. Very.
And your mom, too, right?
And my mom, too. Great example of a mother. We look up to our mother.
Mm-hmm. You went to Montana, right? Who went with you?
The first time I went December 6th was with my mom. And then the second time I went with my dad and his best friend, Robert.
Okay. When you all landed in Cascade Falls, what was that town like?
Gloomy, snowy.
Did you feel welcomed?
I did not. A lot of the... it was scary. I didn't know anybody. Just people kind of looked at me different.
Why do you think?
Everybody was predominantly Caucasian. I do look a little different. I am from, I'm Hispanic. So what we did is I went straight to my hotel room and I stayed there unless I would have to come out and have lunch or dinner. But it just felt different. It did not feel like a welcoming city.
And you feel it's because of the color of your skin?
Yes.
Because it's not really diverse there. I mean, it's
not.
It's a little town.
It is a little town. I mean, where I come from, it's Los Angeles,
Yeah, we're a melting pot of diversity.
We really are, and we're not exposed to anything other than that, So it felt different.
Did you get to talk to your brother when you were there?
No. I just saw him in chains in the courthouse, and they made him look down to the ground. So I wasn't able to talk to him.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
I looked at him with my mother. We wanted to say hi to him. And when they saw that, they told him, look down. Look to the ground. And he did.
Susie, I know this hurts. You put your head down. Talk to me.
Why would they make him look down to the ground? He's a person. He's not a dog. Why couldn't he see his family? He had every right to see his family. Just a little glimpse, at least.
You were there with your mom, Daisy. How did your mom take it?
Oh, my mom. My mom lost it. She lost it. But you know what? I saw it in his eyes that the minute he looked at us, it brought him happiness. For 1 minute, even though he was chained from his feet, his hands... And was made to look down to the ground. I knew he was happy in his heart. And then he walked in. And we walked in and sat in the back. And our attorney that we had paid him $10,000 did not even sit with us and comfort us. He did nothing, And that's how the experience was. And I saw her there.
And he was a white guy too, the attorney.
He was. Okay. He was there. Everybody was there. The mm-hmm. only ones that were not were my mom and I and my brother. Inmates were not. They were all white.
And clearly he's from that area. So it's not like he's somebody from another town.
He is from that area. And yeah.
They all know each other.
Absolutely. And that's scary.
Why is that scary for you?
Because they know each other. They know her family. Her family, and it's, we have proof that they have been ex-deputy sheriffs, one warrant officer, police station worker. I mean, it's so small, as you stated, Great Falls, and
the list goes on.
It does.
The reporting during that time talked about a different sort of arraignment. In fact, we read that he was accused of being a member of the infamous, very notorious gang, MS-13, which involves Salvadoran gang members.
Yes.
And that meaning El Salvador from Central America, for those of you who have never heard of them.
Yes, and our mother is actually from El Salvador. So right away they profiled him and accused him and said that he was an MS gangster.
Who said that to him? Was that said in open court or
No, that was actually said to him by the arresting officers. The lead detective.
So the woman who you say is friends with the victim.
Yes.
And the family. So she said, oh my gosh, you're an MS-13 member. And that's based on, does he have tattoos on his body that say MS-13?
He does not.
No.
No. He has tattoos, but they're not gang related.
Okay.
He has, what is it, Stewie? Mm-hmm. No, Cartman.
Cartman.
But that's okay. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, does he have any gang tattoos on his body?
No.
So then why do you believe they would make the assumption that he's an MS-13 gang member?
Because the color of his skin. Because they automatically think he's Hispanic, so...
He's from L.A.
He's a gangster. He's from L.A.
Mom is from El Salvador. And right away, because you're from El Salvador and you're a young man, right away they'll probably think he's a gang member.
Mm. But you see, they're saying he's a gang member from MS, but they're also saying that he's going to flee to Guatemala. So which one are you going to go with?
That was the other allegation.
Exactly. That was the other allegation that they were saying he's going to flee the country.
And you were also, or he was, he and you were also accused of being a drug dealer?
Me.
You?
What they said about me, which threw me off and completely.
And to your face, how did that happen?
It happened in open court under oath. Detective Cunningham said that he's involved in some kind of illegal activity, mm-hmm. and that I know about it, and I'm discarding of it.
That you as a sister are discarding of the fact that...
And they based this off of the fact that he had an Amazon account and he had an eBay account that I had to go in and get rid of, return antique stuff that he was selling online. So I returned everything, and according to them, I'm involved in some kind of illegal activity.
Oh, as a result of you just getting on his account and
exactly.
getting rid of accounts.
I don't have a criminal record. I have an honorable record. I wouldn't ever do anything that would ever jeopardize anything for anybody, not even for my own brother. I'm married to law enforcement. I've always been a good citizen. And these people just try to discredit me because I am his sister and I've been the one
at the forefront.
At the forefront.
Yeah. I should mention that we did, we're producers here, we asked for your arrest record, and you have a clean arrest record. So thank you for providing that to us.
You're welcome.
Has Michael ever been arrested prior to this?
Yes?
For what?
I don't know the details.
It is to our understanding, because it came out once they started to bring out stuff about him. I believe he had marijuana on him one time. He was younger.
Okay.
And that's all that we know about.
Okay. Who's Robert?
His best friend.
And it seems like he's between both Michael and Brianna, correct?
Yes. Good friends to both of them.
Okay. So what's he doing now, and how has this affected him?
Well, the second time that I went down to Great Falls, December 20th, for a bail hearing, Robert went with my father and I. He went with both of us, and he was supposed to be a testify as a character witness. So over there, I guess you have to testify as character witnesses to try to lower the bail and say, hey, let us bring him home. Robert went with us because he was going to support my brother, and somehow the attorney we had hired never put him on the stand for some reason.
When he never put him on the list?
On the stand to talk. It was my dad and I. On the way out of the courtroom, the courthouse, the lead detective came up to us and asked him, are you Robert Fuentes? He said, yes, you're under arrest for tampering with a witness. And they based this off of a phone call that Robert had with her, just talking to her as friends, telling her, you need to say the truth. Why are you doing this? Michael's family is upset for what's going on, meaning we were upset with my brother, obviously. Like my sister stated earlier, we understand that what he did wasn't, you know, he should have never gone out there, but we also feel that it should have not been blown out of proportion. So we're aware of this. So Robert was arrested, and he was there for about a month and a half. Robert was suicidal inside of jail.
How old is Robert?
Same age, 28.
Mm.
And all because he tried to bring... just try to talk to her and say, hey, let's do this.
Kind of a normal thing, right? Honest. You'd think if we're friends, I'd call you and be like, hey, can you just tell the truth?
He was an advocate for both. he loved them both, and he got caught up in it. And he's now in California. He should be going back in September, but they want his trial to be after Michael's trial for some reason. I don't know.
So he's still, what's his charge? Oh, tampering with a witness. And what's that, a couple years as well?
Yeah, a couple years. And he doesn't want to.
And does he have a clean arrest record?
I don't know Robert's record.
I get you. Yeah. Okay. Is he married? Have kids?
He's not. He's a caregiver. Okay. He works with older senior citizens. He takes care of people. He's a nurse.
Got you. Other things came out those first few days. Michael's ex-girlfriend's family has law enforcement ties. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Can you share some examples?
Well, her sister she used to be a deputy sheriff, well-known in the community, now works for Children's Services. Her other sister is a police officer tech, works inside of the police station, and she is friends with the lead detective on the case. So they exchange police reports. She's one of the people that helps her out inside the office. Her brother-in-law is a warrant officer for the Cascade County as well. His father is an ex-undersheriff. He used to be the undersheriff of that city.
Her father?
So the warrant officer, the brother-in-law,
uh-huh.
His father used to be the undersheriff of that little city.
Wow.
He's no longer, but...
Right.
And, I mean, they even know the judges.
So court documents, this is what blew our producer away and myself, show that her relatives, the victim's relatives in this small town in Great Falls, Montana, work in record management at the police department. Just curious, do you think that might be a little bit of a conflict of interest?
Yes. And that's why.
And that's why you're here.
That's why we're here. And that's why we feel that something just doesn't make sense.
Did you reach out to the newspapers out there?
Yes.
Numerous times.
Radio, TV?
Radio, TV.
What happened?
We just kept on being persistent with them. At first, the newspaper person that kept on writing about my brother, we weren't really wanting to give him any information because he's probably going to get that information and turn it around. But we ended up getting his trust, and he ended up knowing what kind of people we are. He started getting to know us. Slowly but surely, we started sending pictures of our family, telling him, oh, you know, this is what we are about. And then he starts listening, and then he starts putting things together, and he's like, wait a minute, this does not make sense anymore, what they are doing. So he's actually trying to help us at the moment. We also reached out to the mayor of Montana. We told him what was actually going on.
So you sat down with the mayor?
I had a phone conversation with him.
Okay. And how'd that go?
And it went well. He sounded like he wanted to probably help us. He asked what he can do for us. And I said, well, what you can do for us is that have my brother be charged for what he initially did and just
be punished for the crime.
Be punished for the crime.
Not for something that didn't happen.
That something that did not happen.
Okay. So you asked the mayor that, and what was the response?
The response that he gave me was that he personally can't do anything. But he urges me to tell our lawyer to contact him. And he seems to know very well the lead detective in the case. It's such a small town that these people, I don't want to say glorify her, but they kind of look up to her as a role model.
This woman. How old is this woman?
She is probably
35, maybe.
Oh, so she's
32.
Young.
She's not that old.
She's young.
And she's like the first woman firearms instructor out there. It's such a small town. And I mean, she...
Is she married? Have kids?
Yes.
That's interesting. I wonder who she's married to.
Well, I think from my understanding, I think he has to do with law enforcement as well.
Mm.
I don't know what position he has, but I know, I think.
Go ahead.
He has to do.
And it is to my understanding that her brother is a top notch out there too. I think he's a sergeant in the police department as well.
So they do well. They have good money, it sounds like, this family. Okay. Yes. And who's a district attorney? Have you had any dealings with the actual DA and sat down with the DA?
We have not. I just know her name, but we have not talked.
Because that would be her boss.
Her boss. No, we know. We've never sat down with him.
With the DA?
With the DA.
The district attorney. Okay.
Correct.
Any plans to go back to Montana?
I'm afraid. I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
I've expressed myself to the court in a letter, where I am afraid for them to do something to me, arrest me for something I haven't done.
Right.
Or just bring up something I don't know. And I cannot see myself going through more of a hell than what I am now. And I have two children.
Makes sense, yeah.
It's scary.
It sounds like no man's land. If you go and you just cough, there's an ordinance. Says you can't cough that loud. Yeah. You're going in. And how are you supposed to know that when you're not from that area, right?
You feel vulnerable.
You feel vulnerable. This is 2018 in the United States of America, where, granted, our political divisiveness is pretty bad. But it's frightening that you don't feel a liberty, right? People should feel free to roam around the United States of America, especially as a U.S.-born citizen. Because I take real exception, personally, if I go somewhere, and I don't care if I don't look like you. I am from this country, and I am just as entitled to be at the table as you, as a different race, and as a different gender.
Absolutely.
Because I'm a feminist, too. You know that.
That is USA. That is the diversity of the different kinds of people. That's what makes our country so
right.
different from other countries.
But we're also seeing a change. Exactly. We're seeing people abuse their power
exactly.
because they know how to. And you don't. You don't know how to work the system. At the end of the day, the conversation becomes who's better at playing Monopoly. And when I mean Monopoly, I mean the U.S. legal system. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a lot of money, we all know there are instances and big, you know, high profile crime stories where people walk and you know they did it. You know they committed the crime, but they walk. So the question becomes, how do you become empowered? How do you pull out your own legal sword and get through this on somewhat of a fair fight? Because at this point, it sounds to me like all you're asking for is a fair trial. It sounds like you want, like, is there any way that you'd be able to convince this girl, Brianna, to finally maybe open her mouth and say, look, it's got to stop. I was with this guy for 4 years. I live with this family. I mean, you got to believe this, by the way. I'll say this. Again, I don't know all the facts. I have not been in court. But it sounds to me like there is some, there's a power trip going on here. You have no idea. Because it doesn't sound like she comes from a great family that she's loved so much. It's not like that kind of a pristine family. But there's a power trip it sounds like she's a young lead detective who this is going to help build her career. And so she's still earning marks on her belt. And so it's going to help her look good in the end. But there's karma. And, you know, we can all run, especially if we, make the statement that we're Christians, right? Well, God's watching and he knows what's in your heart. He knows your intentions. And so I think that what you're asking for is that your brother, as an American citizen, his rights be honored as well. And so I think your million-dollar question is, how are you going to make them honor that? How can you do that? Have you reached out to some of your congressmen here or women?
No, Becerra. We've reached out to
Attorney General, California Attorney General.
They sent me a letter saying no. ACLU California referred me to ACLU Montana. ACLU Montana said they cannot help us. Congress people out here, I sent a letter to Governor Jerry Brown.
Why not?
Haven't received anything yet.
I mean, you are the wife of a law enforcement officer.
And I know. And that's the part that it's ironic. you know, I'm here with somebody who enforces the law, but yet I have a brother sitting in jail where the law is not just. And all, again, the way we feel that we're going to get this out is for the world to know what's going on. Our media, just people to see the injustice of what's going on.
You're hoping a little bit of a spotlight is going to make them feel they've got to do the right thing because people are listening.
And we stand as a family for proper punishment,
For your brother, you're saying, for what
for my brother, exactly. Correct. And we're not here sitting here saying he didn't do anything. We're not sitting here as two sisters who are blinded. We're sitting here as two sisters who just want justice for the truth to be said, for the truth to come out, and for him to be punished for what he really did, not for what he did not do. Reason why, too, he's sitting in that jail, because he's not going to take something he didn't do.
And you said he's also suffering abuses inside?
Yeah. They've denied his mail in Spanish. My mother has written to him in Spanish, and they have denied it because their reason is, and I've seen the actual paperwork from the Cascade County Jail Detention Center. It says rejection notice, foreign language. So foreign language, what does that mean? They should have the proper...
A translator?
Translator funds to be able to translate that from Spanish to English. They've done that a couple times.
Have you been able to send that letter back with, you know, maybe you translate it for your mom?
Well, no. They just denied it and took it away and never gave it back to him. So they're holding it until he gets out.
And you said there was some name calling behind bars?
Yeah.
They told him to go back, wet back, taco, enchilada.
Wait, what? They called him a taco?
Yeah.
An enchilada?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even Mexican, by the way, for the record.
No.
So you know, tacos and enchiladas are not eaten in Guatemala or in El Salvador.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So that's why we think it has to do with race.
And even if you were to talk to my brother now, there are some people in the jail who have seen what they've said to him. He's had a witness who's seen the abuse that he's due to racism, they called it in the letter, of what Michael has gone through in the jail. Just for the record, it's also my understanding that they do know people in the detention center as well, the family.
Brianna's family.
Yes. And they've kept a close eye on Michael as well, his every move.
How's his mental health, your brother? So you can't talk to him or anything?
We talk to him when he calls from jail, but my dad went to visit him once, and that's because I had to call and make sure that they would let him in because they denied him going in as well. They didn't let him go in. So he drove out to Montana, and just for them to say, "We're closed. You cannot come in. We've had an issue."
Oh my God.
Can you imagine how my father came back?
Devastated. So he's got to be... I mean, he's really going through hell by himself in there.
He is. All he has is letters that I have to write in English because I am so scared that they're going to deny them.
Mm-hmm.
And who is to say if I am comfortable in writing Spanish? Because we are bilingual,
right?
Three of us, mm-hmm. You know, but I write it in English too because I want to make sure he gets my letters. It's the only way I can communicate with him and tell him how much I love him and how much we support him. And we're here for him.
Susie, what do you want to tell your brother?
We love him, and we're fighting for him. We're fighting for the truth to be out, and we won't give up on him. We will not give up on him. We will keep on going until the end.
He's very lucky to have two sisters like you.
We love him very much. We love him very much. If one falls, we will pick them up. If my sister falls, I'll pick her up. If I fall, she'll pick me up. She is our rock. We love each other, but my sister is our rock. She looks after us. I am the person I am because of my mother and my sister. I thank God for her. God kept her here for a reason. She could have died.
When I was 4.
We all have those stories, right?
Yeah.
I almost died when I was 2.
Yeah, I flew out of a car.
Oh, gosh.
On the 10 freeway, and I survived.
So. You're right.
Yeah.
You know what? Maya Angelou has an incredible quote. I'll leave you with this. And she says, I may come as one, but I stand as 10,000 strong. Thank you for sharing your story, Daisy and Susie. Good luck to you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
We can't thank you enough.